Hey, aloha, howdy doody, how's it going? Wherever you are and however you say it, hi, I'm your host Ashley Noel, and thank you for listening to my show, Steps to Self-Worth. I'm a self-worth coach, a former California crisis counselor, an unpaid comedian, a poet, rapper, a public speaker, and if that's not enough, I'm also a wife and a mom. This is not a faith-based podcast, but I will be sharing a little bit about my faith and the role it played in gaining my self-worth. On my show, I'm going to teach you tangible strategies to gaining your self-worth, help you learn a new perspective, and ultimately, you're going to learn your individual value and worth. Say what? You can't put a price on that, folks. I use my personal poems to talk about body shaming, porn addiction, violations of trust, seeking validation, living like a victim, social media, selfishness, getting rid of toxic people, and so many other issues that hold us back from knowing our worth. So, first things first, hit like, follow, subscribe, or whatever button it is that allows you to be notified when I post another life-changing episode. Aside from the podcast, where can you find me? I'm on Facebook at www.facebook.com/coachashleynoel or my website at www.ashleyspeaks.net. Until next time, thanks for listening. And I'm Ashley Noel, and I approve of this message. Hey, this is Coach Ashley Noel, and you're listening to episode 19, Letting Go of Approval. Today, we have a very special guest, visionary leader, Heather Picken. Hey, Heather, how are you?
I'm doing great, Ashley. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I'm super excited because I kind of vibe off what you do, and I'm just excited for everyone else to get on board with the journaling and letting go of approval.
I do it.
All right. So let's, listeners, a little bit about Heather. So at the age of 4, she was diagnosed with a learning disorder, dyslexia, which really messed with her self-worth. It also led to her having anorexia. And on top of that, she entered a lot of unhealthy relationships throughout her lifetime. So combine all those things together and her self-worth was really shooken up and taken away from her. And she found herself in a constant need for approval. However, Heather is amazing and fantastic and took all those negative situations and flipped it around. And she ended up becoming the inventor of the patent-pending Vision Journal, a revolutionary way to recognize your thoughts, harness mindfulness, and increase productivity. Her success has led to her appearance on the Hay House Radio, CBS, ABC, and many other media appearances. So it sounds like to me that what she's doing is working, and we're all going to want to listen real closely because this woman is fantastic. So Heather, go ahead and just take it away with, you know, we wanted to talk about how we can identify these root issues. And what leads to, you know, when do we start feeling like we need the approval of others?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the root issues of approval, they come from your childhood. So you mentioned in my story, you know, at a very young age, I was diagnosed with dyslexia. Now, back then, we didn't really know what it was, like, or at least I didn't. No one really sat me down and explained, you know, hey, your brain's not working properly. And so in the moment, when you think about the root issues of approval, now, particularly young girls are told at a very young age, you have to be nice, right? And you have to be a princess. And that is actually very dangerous. So you can see if you grew up having that issue of, oh, I've got to please my mom or my dad or both, I have to be perfect. Can you see how there's just so much anxiety around that? So for me, I remember sitting in my classroom and being taken out of my room in front of my peers and being shuffled next door where everyone could see me and I was getting special tutoring. It was in that moment that I did not feel good enough. And so that put me on the path of just self-destruction, of just feeling like I was this horrible person that would never amount to anything. And it's interesting because, you can have a master's degree, a PhD, lots of trainings and certifications, but if you don't address those root issues, they will keep bubbling up.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds awful, though, especially as such a young kid when you don't recognize that these things don't define you. Like, you really just take it in and go, oh, I am dyslexia. Oh, I am anorexia. I am all these things. I am bad. And I'm not this Disney princess that, you know, if someone's going to come swoop up and, you know, take me out of my tower.
Exactly. It was very consuming in that period. And I had a sister that was 2 years older than me. So imagine always being compared to your sister who was quote unquote perfect. And she had a photographic memory essentially. So she would study for a test, you know, in 1 hour and she would ace it, where I would read a page for literally 3 hours and I didn't know what I was reading. And so I really struggled with my grades. I barely graduated in high school, and I didn't really, you know, I didn't really excel. It wasn't until college where I finally made the dean's list. But yeah, so I went through that whole struggle. Wow. And it, you know, it was a journey of self-discovery. And as we get into this, I think it'll be interesting to kind of have people reflect on their own life and realize that, you know, you're not broken.
Right. Nobody's broken.
Exactly. Exactly. And it also, you know, when we're talking about first identifying the root issues. So when I'm working with clients, I have them basically look at a timeline of their life between, you know, their first recollection. My first memory, I remember when I was 2 years old in a crib. You know, my mom coming home from going out at night with my father and picking me, you know, I remember thinking, as it's so crazy, thinking in my baby like mind going, oh, there's mom, she's picking me up. But that was a nice memory. But if you do your timeline from the earliest memory to now, what were the most traumatic events? And if you do not resolve those events, they become an ongoing program. So, you know, again, you have to identify the root issue, and you also have to look, as in your adult life, you know, how are these impacting the other areas of my life? So what I do is I work with a framework which I've created called the Life Matrix. So our life revolves around 8 areas. We've got the mind, your body, your spiritual quest. Spiritual is defined by, not necessarily, doesn't have to be religion, but it's like your life purpose. Your relationships, your career, which could also be business, money, family, and friends.
Okay.
And, yeah. And so one of the things that people can look at is how, here's a prompt for everyone. How is my need of approval impacting my mindset? How is it impacting my body? How is it impacting my spiritual life? So for those people that really want to get out there in a bigger way, let's just say if you have a business, can you see how those approval issues hold you back? Even if you have many trainings, certifications, PhDs, or a master's degree. Like, I worked with some very smart people, but yet it's hard for them to break out of that pattern. So look at that and look to see, okay, where am I really living for the need of approval? If you try to live for the need of approval, you will never get ahead. If you try to make other people's opinions more important than yours, can you see how that holds you back? Even in relationships, I want to speak briefly about that, because my biggest issues have always been in relationships. Today, I'm in an amazing relationship. I'm engaged. I was supposed to get married last August, but, you know, little thing called the pandemic happened and we had to postpone.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But congratulations on the engagement.
Thank you. And I have been such a wreck. Like, here I am, a college educated woman, and yet I am attracting these men that are telling me what to do. They're trying to suppress me. And I am trying to live from the need of approval. So, you know, I learned that at a very young age. So that came from my father. And I'm not making him out as a bad, and my father's amazing. But I realized, as I unpacked all of this, why I had that pattern. And so once I identified that, I thought, you know, as a high-valued woman, I am not going to be in a relationship with someone is not in alignment with that. And so that's really powerful. This is also for men too, but I found a lot of women, they will stay in a relationship because they're like, well, I'm just too old. I'm not going to find someone. But yet they, they stay in those relationships out of fear and out of approval. And so I've actually had to help women to break through those toxic relationships because it will impact your money. So if you're not being true to yourself and if you're living your life for approval, your life is going to be negatively impacted through your your money, your spiritual quest. You're going to hold yourself back from showing up powerfully, and your body. So there's a whole field of science called psychoneuroimmunology. It's how the mind impacts the body. You look at all these diseases that we have going on, and there is a correlation of how that can trace back to not really, in essence, I'm going to be very general about it, not being true to yourself. I've worked with so many clients over the years who are diagnosed with many, quote unquote, diseases. And once we recalibrate them to live for themselves instead of the need of others, those symptoms and diseases dissolve.
Yes. Okay. And so I can speak to that personally because I was in a toxic marriage beforehand. And once I finally left, so my biggest thing was I gained weight having kids, like pretty much every woman does. And unfortunately, that was not acceptable to my spouse. And that took a huge hit on my worth. And I could not lose the weight for the life of me. And there, you know, there's some obesity in my family and there's some other health issues. And I just was like, okay, well, maybe it's a part of me or something. But I, you know, no matter how hard I tried to lose this weight, I just couldn't. As soon as I left that relationship and started focusing on myself and believing what I wanted to believe about myself, I dropped 50 pounds in like 6 months, I think.
Wow. I know. Isn't that amazing?
I was like, oh, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I had the same thing happen to me. Now, my background actually, it's interesting because I was overweight, had anorexia, then I got into bodybuilding and fitness, and it turned my life around. Like, it really empowered me. And I just remember also having issues with my weight where I was in those toxic relationships, and no matter what I would do, diet and training, I couldn't lose it. Got rid of the toxic relationships and like, you know, boom, here it goes. And so it's also the psychological factors that hold women back, you know, when they're in that toxic relationship. Just realize that your body is a feedback mechanism to your conscious mind. So if you are having quote unquote symptoms, don't necessarily, and I have to say a disclaimer about this, yes, go to the doctor, but realize there is a root issue. I am always reflective in choosing the most natural and holistic path. Our minds are the most powerful medicine. I'm not negating Western medicine, but I think a lot of times we don't really dig deep and work with the wounds and really be reflective about what's going on.
Well, that's because digging deep is really hard to do. It's easier to just pop a pill and hope that that fixes things.
Isn't it interesting? You know, it's funny because the work that I do, it's all mental work. Like, when I started my business, I was focusing a little bit on marketing, and then I realized that the mindset was key, and we just like really dug deep into this inner stuff, and they were making, my clients like were double and tripling their revenue. They're like, Heather, this is crazy. But it comes with a price because when you confront your stuff, it's like, oh, I have to take responsibility. But it's liberating. It's liberating and it's life-changing when you do the work.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I was just thinking like back to when we were talking about being in toxic relationships and choosing to stay even though you know they're toxic and you know they're bad, is another reason is just because nobody likes to be alone. And it's so interesting to me how much we are willing to tolerate because of fear and because we don't want to be alone or because we don't want to face our own issues, or, you know, like we belittle ourselves and our value by staying in those relationships because we just don't want to deal with the rest of it.
It's so crazy. And I have to tell you a quick crazy story on how this works. It's like, if you keep living out of fear, the universe has a way of making you face it. So years ago, I was in a toxic relationship. I decided in this guy lived cross country. So I decided out of fear, because I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent, to move in with this guy. And a couple weeks later, I knew that this was like the worst decision of my life. About a month after that, we got into a big fight. He came home drunk and he said, get your effing stuff out of here. So I had to take what I had. Now, keep in mind, I didn't have a car. I had a couple hundred dollars left in my bank account. Didn't know anyone. And I, in the middle of the night, this is like 2 a.m., I had to take what I had, stuff it in trash bags, grab my little dog, Angel at the time. And I was sitting like alone going, how in the heck did I get here? I'm a college educated woman. And I was just, I was freaking out. I was fearful. But I realized in that moment that I was given also an opportunity to change this once and for all. And that's where I made a decision that I was going to do it. I was going to do whatever it took in my power. So like that breakdown created a breakthrough. So fast forward, I moved in. This is so crazy when I think about it. I moved in with a complete stranger that I met on Craigslist. And I focused.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's so crazy. And I focused my energy on working. I didn't date. And I'm like, I'm going to work. I'm going to work out, eat. And that's it. Within a couple of months, I remember making more money than I had ever made in my entire life. It was so liberating. And it taught me a lot about myself, that, you know, not to settle, and that I didn't have to let that lesson define me and beat myself up about it. So there's actually a lot of power in those stories. And that's why I like to share those stories. And another thing, we're talking about our thoughts and how powerful they are. Our perceptions create our reality. I was listening to a song that time. So during that time of building up my business, just becoming focused, I was listening to a song called Don't Stop Believing by Journey and Steve Perry. I must have listened to that song 1,000 times. And I thought one day, I'm like, this song is so powerful, because I was making money. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, where does Steve Perry live? I want to connect with him. So I went on Google and I typed in, where does Steve Perry live? Well, I found out he lived in Del Mar, California. And I didn't really think anything of it. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Never say never. And so 4 hours later, this is just so crazy. 4 hours later, I get an email out of the blue that said, I have won a 2-night stay in Del Mar, California. And no, this is so crazy. And so the story goes like this. I went there. No, I never met Steve Perry, but it made this conscious connection in the moment. If I can do that, what else can I do?
Yeah, you manifested the heck out of that.
Yeah.
I need to start manifesting more. That's so funny. And one of the songs that I've been listening to lately is Survivor. What is it? Destiny's Child?
Oh, yes. I love that song. Very powerful.
Yeah, it's one of my like go-to morning songs. Like, yes, okay, I'm going to do this. Because now I'm homeschooling my kids. And sometimes I have my two kids. Sometimes I have my stepkids. So there's 4 kids to 2 kids at all times. And I'm like, I'm a survivor. I can get through this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's funny. Well, I think this is a great time, guys. Let's take a quick break for our sponsor. We'll be right back. All right. Thanks for joining us again. Heather was just talking all about how to identify root issues and how it stems from your childhood and it can bleed into your adulthood, and how within your childhood, there is a need for approval and it stems from somewhere, and how we can search for those traumatic experiences or the things that shaped our need for approval is through her 8 life matrix steps. So there's the body, mind, spiritual, relationships, career, money, family, and friends. So let's go back to that a little bit more. And how, so what are we asking ourselves? Is it, when it comes to in mind, is it like, okay, if in my mind, like mentally, what experience did I have, or what issues were there, or where do I need approval? Like what are we asking ourselves?
What you could do in those 8 areas is, on a scale from 1 to 10, where do you, 10 being the highest, where do you think that you fall? So in your mind, you know, are, you know, do you feel like, you know, you're a one or a two? And so you want to go around the wheel to identify where your chaos is. So it's like, you know, the universe is set up as like, when you will attract chaos when you're not empowered in those eight areas, and you will learn the lesson. I guarantee someone or something will overpower you. So the whole idea is to maximize all eight areas of your life. I have been a mess in all eight, and that's where like I can help anyone in all areas, but I specialize in business. So what's interesting, as I mentioned before, I have helped women to dissolve, like people going through divorce. Normally it would take them years to go through the trauma. No, it's 2 weeks, you know, or less. It just depends on how fast you want to work through it. You know, divorce, death, any issue that you can think of that is taking up what I call the mental real estate of your mind. So your mind, you think about it, our thoughts are so powerful that the stats that I last read is that we have an average between 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day. 80% are negative and 95% are repetitive. So think about it. If you're not doing anything different to change those programs, can you see where the program of self-worth that relates to your childhood is impacting your relationships, is impacting, you know, your body, your spiritual quest, never feeling like you're good enough? You know, oh, what about, you know, going, you know, to the holidays, or we've actually had maybe more virtual holidays, but where you feel like, I felt this for so many years. I don't feel this now, but when I would go over to my grandparents' house for Christmas Eve, I never felt like I was good enough, you know, because I didn't measure up to, oh, you know, this and that. And now it's just like, oh, I am so like in a different place, and it feels good because I've worked on myself. You know, a lot of times people, they work on the outer stuff. If you focus more on your internal game, everything, I promise you, everything in your life will change. Everything. I was working with a client who in her business, she was so like, oh, I can't get to the next level. And when we got to the root issue, it was her mom. Her mom kind of deserted her. And there's a lot of stuff to unpack. And she had a marriage that she was still married, but she was engaged. It was a weird situation, but she felt a lot of shame around it. Anyways, long story short, in about a couple of weeks, we dissolved all of those issues. Her business, without even having a website, took off like a rocket ship, booked full with clients, has confidence out of the roof because she took time to do these exercises that I go deep into when I'm working with a client. So she is a different person. So that's how powerful it is.
Yes, I love that. And it's such hard work. Like I was saying earlier, it's so much easier just to take a pill or find other ways to ignore it, you know, push those feelings deep down, those traumas deep down. But it is so empowering if you can face it, acknowledge it, accept it, and learn how to overcome it. And then you're like, oh, that's nothing.
Exactly.
You know, it becomes nothing.
Exactly. And if you look at the neuroscience of it, because I've been studying a lot of neuroscience, understanding human behavior, and this is the mind-boggling thing. It does not take years. I don't care what trauma you have in your life, is that you can transform it literally in milliseconds. The brain has the capacity to neuroplastically change if you give it the right prompts. And all too often, you know, we think, oh, I have to spend years and years in therapy. You don't. Not saying that it's not helpful. It's definitely helpful. But there is a way that you can shortcut the process. And if you understand how the brain works, how your perceptions will keep you in a freaking holding pattern. So you absolutely must change your identity. Your identity, so your perceptions, you know, think about the things that are holding you back that you still have stories about, like people that you resent. Oh, I wish this didn't happen. I have guilt and shame. That is a holding pattern. Your perception, what happens is that you have, if you have not dissolved those, or I say neutralized those memories, they carry on over to your adult life. And it creates a ripple effect, like I mentioned, in all eight areas of your life. So when you have highly polarized and highly charged perceptions, more negative than positive, that is where I find people cannot get unstuck, no matter how much education they have. It's not about intellect. It is about emotionally untangling those issues to where it does not run your psychology. And this is what I want people to really understand. When you neutralize it and you can be grateful for the things that have happened in your life. And I've worked with clients that have had pretty quote unquote traumatic experiences. I've had some, you know, if we were to go deeper on this podcast, I could share some pretty traumatic, what would appear to be traumatic, but it's all how you, again, perceive, it's perception. So you could be a victim, or you can choose to change the perception of your life so that everything shifts and then the brain changes. So we're making these, you know, it's about making new connections in your brain. There's actually been a lot of research in Alzheimer's disease and how we can actually reverse some of that by understanding, you know, what is rattling around in our brains. And there's specialized cells that are actually either making new connections in our brain or actually pruning those connections away. And that to me is mind-boggling. We know, that's why me personally, I don't freak out. I don't fear those kinds of things because I know how to regulate my mind.
Right, right. And back to when you were talking about like victim mentality and the whole why, you and I are so alike when it comes to our clients, just because I want to get to the root issues. And I'm like, let's talk now. But one question I always ask my clients is, instead of I guess always just being like, why is this happening to me? Like, why God, why this, why that? Instead of asking, why is this happening to me? I want them to shift it and say, why is this happening for me?
Yes. I love that.
Because that is exactly what we need to do. We need to be saying like, okay, what can I gain from this? How am I going to grow? What is this trial trying to teach me? Because I believe we are not given things that we can't handle. We can't always handle them by ourselves, but we can always overcome and we can push through everything we're given in this life.
Absolutely. It's all about how, you know, questions have power. So if you choose questions that are disempowering, guess what? You are creating a negative feedback loop to adopt that program so that that is the life that you continue to live. It always floors me. And this does not negate, you know, person having money. I find some of the most successful people, successful 7 and 8 figure earners, if they haven't worked on this emotional stuff, they are a wreck and it ruins their life. So it's not just about, you know, just because you have money doesn't mean all of the other areas are going to be balanced. That's why you have to maximize all of the areas. And I highly recommend one of the things to get out of your own way. And there's been a lot of interesting research is journaling. And so if we look at the neuroscience of journaling, I like number one, because we live in such a digitized world, our brains have become what they call, actually like slower. What's the word I'm looking for? Digital dementia. So our brains have actually become slower because of social media and constantly being online. So how you solve that problem is journaling. So journaling gives you a tool to reflect. It also allows your brain to, gives your brain a break. So when you're going analog, it's so powerful. And how this works in you know, when you're journaling, let's just say the best way to get out of your own way is to start reflecting on your day. You know, I always say start your day with intention, create an intentional day. And this is what I go deep into my programs, like really understanding how your thoughts are creating reality. I actually show people, I actually have a measuring strategy on how you understand how your reality is created and how it's actually changing and evolving. So when you're journaling, and you're journaling not with negativity, like, oh, I suck, but just like, oh, this is interesting, self-reflection. Right. And then you get into the feeling of what you want to create. What happens in your brain is you're using your sensory and motor neurons, which are responsible for changing your subconscious mind. So in my program, I just take it to the next level. So where you're never the same person, your brain is not the same brain when you start and when you end, and of course your results. So I really want I want people to realize that journaling is such a powerful tool to get out of your own way. They've done a lot of research, people that have been depressed, have traumatic events, obviously if you have a business, but a wide range of issues to where you're really being reflective. Like, don't beat yourself up. Be reflective on that situation, because when you have a tool that can actually look to see, okay, what happened? What can I do differently? And this goes back to philosophic principles, stoic principles of just having a lot of reflection, reflecting upon your day. It will allow you to look at your life differently and course correct. Whereas if you go online, you're constantly comparing yourself to Instaperfect, which we know is unrealistic because you're not following those people 24/7. And so it gets you back to you. You know, the journaling tool gets you back to who you are and being easy on yourself. You know, I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. And embracing both sides of you. One thing I will say is that I never strive to be happy. I think that's an illusion. It really is like, how can I embrace all sides of me and my life as I navigate around this journey? And so when you're balanced, you make balanced decisions. When you get too elated, that's not good either. When you get too down in yourself, it's hard for you to regulate your mind. So you've got to live in the world of balance so that you can be the strongest person. And it's so mind-blowing. Like, I just don't allow things to overcome me now because I've got the tools.
Yeah. So I have a funny story about journaling is when I was probably like, I don't even know, 6 or 7, I was writing in a journal. And of course, my brother snuck in and read it. And to this day, my brothers, I've got 4 brothers, and they all bullied me growing up, of course, like they should. They read it. And on one of the pages I wrote, you know, "Dear Diary, how are you?" "I'm great, thanks."
I love it.
And they'll like randomly just message me and be like, "Dear Diary, how are you?" "I'm great, thanks."
You know what's interesting?
And they're like, "Why would you ask your diary how they are? And I was like, "I don't know. I was so
well."
Cool.
You know what's funny? I think you were channeling your future self in our technology of a chatbot.
I would like to accept that as my truth. Yeah. Well, but then, so then it like shut me off to journaling. And then, you know, the other type of journaling I learned is when you want to diet or restrict certain things, they have you write down what you eat. And that's where you learn like, oh, okay. So I have been eating more carbs or more sugar or more candy than I thought I was, you know, doing these things. So why aren't we doing that with our life? Like, why aren't we writing out our little blueprint of what's happening every day to look and see what's triggering us? And, oh, wow, that anger, there's something deeper to that. Why am I not exploring that? You know, because it's not necessarily our situations, but it's the emotions and the feelings behind it that we need to be digging deeper
into.
Absolutely.
I think a couple of different reasons why a lot of people are not doing that. They don't know what they don't know. They're also maybe looking for the quick fix instead of going deep, because this deep work, it could be kind of confronting. But when you realize that you can live in a different brain for the rest of your life, you will never want to change. Ever, you know, it's so like the way that I thought about myself growing up, I hated myself. I looked at my body. I'm like, I'm fat. I'm stupid. I definitely don't have the same perception now. I'm smart. I'm a visionary leader. I like, you know, my life is pretty amazing. I mean, do I have challenging times? Absolutely. But I have the tools to overcome any challenges that come my way. And I'm ready, you know, I'm ready. So I want to share that with everyone. It's like, you know, we're not without our challenges. And the bigger you climb in your vision, you will have more challenges. I will say this to everyone is that it's a good idea to get clear, have a clear vision in all of those 8 areas of your life. So when you're crystal clear, the right people and resources appear. When you're not, that's where you attract your chaos. So when working with clients, you know, they're saying, "I want this, this, and that." Okay. What's your vision statement around that? That is also realistic. So that's another thing, you know, we talked a little bit about comparison when you,
what do you mean by vision?
Yeah.
Statement?
So the way that I, my definition of a vision statement is, you know, get clear for the vision that you want to do, be, and have from now in your lifetime, and then shrink it down into smaller vision statements that are specific in those eight areas of your life matrix. And I have done this process with entrepreneurs with literally 8 weeks when they get clear on a shorter vision that it absolutely comes true. And it's amazing. But here's what you don't want to do. Do not create a vision or a vision statement that is not in alignment with your core values. And those values actually are what those eight areas of life are. A lot of people get misconstrued of what really a value is. You know, it's like, I live from integrity. No, you're not going to live from integrity if someone challenges you in a way that you feel like, no, that's not me. So your values are defined by what you're taking action on the most and how you prioritize your life. And so that's the framework that I work on. So it's a really a specific goal setting formula based on neuroscience that gives you specific feedback on how to set the goals that are most aligned with you. If you try to set what I call the unicorn goals, they won't come true. You'll beat yourself up and going, why am I not making $1 million this year? I had a client that her first goal, she wanted to make $500,000, which she's never made her first six figures. I'm like, no, you're not going to set that goal because it's not in alignment. You know, and plus she wanted to have a kid. And it's like, if you want a kid, you're going to put your kid first before your career in your business. So you want to make sure that you have the bandwidth for that. Not to say you can't do both things at the same time. I've seen plenty of clients do that, but you want to have you don't want to keep looking at other people. This is the danger. I have a love-hate relationship with social media because we're always looking at what other people are doing and constantly comparing ourselves, never feeling good enough. And you just got to shut that down. What I have clients do, and this is just for anyone in general, shut that down, focus on what you want to maximize in those eight areas. And if you just create a strategy and a blueprint, you're going to hit your goals. You start looking at what other people are doing, then you start going, oh, gosh, I'm not good enough. And it's like a race you will never win because there's always going to be someone out there that's making more money, that's skinnier, that, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah. And the funny thing is we look at other people and we're like, oh my gosh, I want what this person has. I want to look like that. I want to wear that. I want this. I want that. And we beat ourselves up about it. But the same amount that we are doing that for other people, we don't realize that other people are looking back at us and thinking, oh, I want what she has. I want what Ashley has. I want, you know, the house Ashley lives in, you know, because everyone is always going to be different. In some ways, I will be better off than other people. And, you know, so there's always people that are looking for what you have. And then we do that. So it's like, we can't even compare ourselves to others because that's just like a vicious cycle of negativity.
Absolutely. Like if you say, oh, I want to be a celebrity. Well, look at the drawbacks in being in that light. You know, there's always a set of drawbacks that people don't realize. And the more that you fall in love with your own journey and see yourself as unique, like you really have to find what is unique, what is remarkable about me, to really acknowledge, you know, that you're on your specific journey and yours is fingerprint specific. And once you understand that, there's really nothing missing, you know, and that's what we tend to think, oh, there's something missing. You have everything that you want. It's just concentrated in what you value the most. So once you appreciate it, then you can transform what is missing, you know, and that could come with money. Well, I'm not making a lot of money. Well, what do you really focus on now? So your focus is always what you're going to, you know, take action on the most. So I always like to highlight that when people are getting down on themselves, well, I haven't hit my money goal or I'm not here yet. You know, be more in the moment, have gratitude. I'm a big fan of focusing on gratitude every day. One quick little story, I was working with a client. That's all she did for 2 weeks, focus on gratitude. And she's like, I cannot believe, like, I have clients calling me out of the blue. She could not believe it because she was just focused. And it sounds so simple, but, you know, again, the brain studies they've done on gratitude, when you're focusing on gratitude, your brain actually grows. when you're the opposite, when you're complaining, your brain actually shrinks and you're pruning away those connections, which also can create dis-ease in the body. So that's where it goes back to balancing your perceptions. Don't be resentful for anything. Love is really the highest vibration in your body, and your cells have a consciousness. So you better pay attention, you know, to transforming all of the resentment in the past and realizing that each thing had a purpose. You know, connect the dots of your life and realize that you're on this magnificent journey.
Well, and what better time to start thinking that when Thanksgiving is just days away.
I love that. Yeah. And even when this, when the pandemic started, I had a lot of clients losing it. I'm like, no. If you're a leader, you can't think that way. Like, look at some of the positive things that have come out of this. You know, there's not dark without a light. You know, there is the law of polarity, and we are constantly reminded, but yet we try to focus on the negatives. You know, a lot of the news and the media is not there to soothe us. So that's another thing I'd say. It's like, I'm always aware of what's going on. Like my fiance, he has to watch it for his business. So I have very strict rules, like do not discuss politics, you know, right when we're going to bed, you know, stuff like that. Right. Just give me the bullet point.
The
fear sells. And you think about it, like these mm-hmm. corporations, they're all about whatever side you're on. It's all about making money. And not that money is a bad thing, but it's the way in which they're doing it, that they're controlling us. We are being controlled by social media. And I didn't watch the Facebook movie yet on Netflix about, you know, just hacking our brains. But there's some danger. And I use it for business, but I am very selective. So you really have to stand guard of your mind of what you're watching it or what you're watching. And ask yourself, is that really true? Like, dig deep. Where are these sources coming from? Who's funding this business? And then make your decision. I think so. People are just, they're glommed on to these conspiracy theories. And then again, that creates mental health issues. So let's wake up. You know, I think people are waking up. We're waking up, but I think people still need to get this, control your inner world. And this will not impact you as much. So you can actually regulate it.
Oh my gosh, Heather, you're amazing. I have seriously loved all of this information. I loved going back and forth about it because it's something I'm super passionate about as well. To wrap this all up, how to work towards letting go of approval. You can start with identifying your childhood issues and, you know, where that need for approval started, you know, attack each and every one of those traumas, and then go through Heather's 8 life matrix steps. So I'm going to say them one time nice and slow. You guys write it all down because you're going to want to go through this. The mind, the body, spiritual, relationships, career, money, family, and lastly, friends. So in all those aspects, where is the need for approval and where are these blocks and how they're rippling across each other? And dig deep down. I encourage you guys to look up more of the neuroscience that she was talking about and self-sabotage, because these are all really big factors in what's holding you back from knowing your worth and from having this confidence and feeling grounded in your value and giving back to others and truly appreciating everything that we have. One of my favorite quotes is that sometimes we are all like a glow stick because we have to break before we can shine. So accept the past, accept the traumas, accept everything, and learn how to grow from it. Learn how to change yourself and empower yourself and empower others by shining your light. So Heather, how can people reach out to you? You know, what's the best way? Your website and YouTube channel, correct?
Yes, please go to my YouTube channel. If you search YouTube, Heather Picken LDV, or my main website, heatherpicken.com, will get you to my website. I've got lots of videos. you know, some are targeted to business, but I've got, you know, breaking through sabotage, fear and anxiety, all of those things. And if you go to my website, there is a free gift, my bundle on gaining clarity in your vision, breaking through self-sabotage, so that you can live fearlessly. So there's a vision guide in there. There's journal prompts and a guided meditation.
That's awesome. Everyone loves free stuff. So you guys don't pass that up. Just head straight to her website and start with that even. Get that breakthrough going. And then, you know, what are some of the things that you offer? So if people want to reach out to you, is it one-on-one coaching or, you know, what are they coming to you for, Heather?
Absolutely. I got a couple of different things. Well, first, my lowest entry is the Vision Journal. That's more for entrepreneurs and visionaries. So you can, if you go to heatherpickin.com, that should direct you. Actually, I don't think right now it does. So if you go to lux.vision, you can find the Vision Journal there. So www.lux.vision. I do private coaching. So if you go to heatherpickin.com, you can type in the chat box or email me, heather@heatherpickin.com, P-I-C-K-E-N, learn more about that. And I also have a program specifically for online coaches and consultants who are either stuck at 100K or haven't made that 100K. And all of it is activating the different things in your brain. So literally rewiring your brain, getting out of your own way so that you can double, triple your sales in 8 weeks or less. So if you're interested in that, you can go to sessionwithheather.com.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks once again. Thank you so much for coming on. I've appreciated all these little golden nuggets of information. I'm going to take it and even like do some self-digging myself. And I want to wrap this up today with Heather's favorite quote, which is, "Knowing yourself is like having a superpower." All right, guys, remember you have worth. And this is Coach Ashley Noel. I'll see you next time.